Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is the Council Connections show with Michael Goodrich. Connection is
made. Our first show back for the year, which is fantastic. We've got a great lineup today. We've got a few things coming up.
Absolutely.
It's a bit of a lineup show. We've got a few exciting guests. Our first guest today will be Julian, who is the event manager for the downhill skate competition happening later this year. We're not long away, about 5 weeks away, on Mount Dungoing. Exciting. It's the third year, I think it is, for that event. And after that, we have Sophie, our youth development officer. Yeah, from Yarra's Council, talking to Phoebe Lyons about the Embellishment Project, which was a creative writing project that was run over the last year and is continuing around creative writing for young people in Yarra Junction surrounding areas, which is really exciting to hear. And then lastly, wrap off the show, we have Sabina from your library in Healesville, and talking about what's happening in the libraries in Yarra Junction and in Healesville. And then Kelly, you and I have a little bit of a shout for you, sort of exciting things happening elsewhere in community.
Absolutely. Let's kick things off.
There you go.
Yeah, so our first guest, as Michael alluded to, is the wonderful Julian Sherman from Victorian Downhill Skate Association. Welcome, Julian.
Not too bad. How are you?
Not too bad. So, downhill skate, tell me more. What's it all about?
Well, basically, it's a subculture of skateboarding. It's, instead of being in the park and in the bowls, it's all about going as fast as possible, basically. And it usually involves travelling to mountainous roads and skating at high speeds and on the roads. The boards are usually bigger and built for that purpose, and we ride wheels that are like twice the size of a street deck, and that's basically what it is. It's, if you've seen the movie Secret Life of Walter Mitty, it's usually a pretty popular reference. There's a scene of that sport in the movie.
Yep.
And that's basically what it is. And it usually has a racing component around the world. So athletes such as myself travel around the world to go to events. And it's basically described as the Formula One of skateboarding, where we run usually four-man heats. And the sport revolves around aerodynamics and sliding, which is like drifting.
And a lot of white knuckle activity, I'm imagining.
That's it. And
yeah.
It gets across the finish line, wins, and it's all gravity powered. So there's no electronics or anything like that. It's all just gravity and aerodynamics. And that's basically what it revolves around. And there's also a large component around putting your board sideways is how we slide down. And we call it sliding, as mentioned before. That's a lot of people just love to put their boards sideways and slide, and we call that free riding.
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's like a snowboard. So I think snowboarding is the most closest example of something that's familiar, and there's like a sort of a transfer of skills, because I tried snowboarding last year. But yeah, there's also the people who take it seriously, like such as myself, and we like to race and go as fast as possible and grip the corners as much as we can. So
yeah, and
what it rolls around,
so. And Julian, how long have you been involved in the sport?
I got my first longboard in 2012 when the whole hype around longboarding exploded. I grew up in Canberra, so I didn't really sort of know about how to stop my longboard. I kind of would just put my foot on the back wheel and just slow myself down somehow that way. So I didn't know how to do it properly, but I would just cruise around. And I had the board for a while, and then I didn't really sort of start skating the way I do and learning how to slide and stop properly until about 2016. So I've been in the sport for about 8 years now.
And it sounds like there's quite a community. Like, if you're mentioning that you've got the opportunity to travel, not only within the Yarra Ranges but more broadly overseas as well, it sounds like there's quite a competitive and, I guess, social community that's connected to the sport as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a bit of a scene in Melbourne, and we're really lucky to have the hills that we do have, because most Australia is pretty flat. But there's a lot of community around the East Coast. It's not a massive community in terms of the size of the country. It's quite small, but it's very dedicated. We have some of the fastest athletes around the world, and we, in Melbourne, probably got the largest scene at this point now. So these events, the reason I've been putting them on is for that reason, is to build the community up, because we want to see more participation. And it's not something that has to be taken seriously or too extreme. lengths. You can definitely do it recreationally and enjoy it, and it's a great way to be out in the outdoors. And I think it's a really cool sport that sort of takes advantage of the modern environment and the infrastructure that we've already got around us, kind of like road cycling or stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely, Julian. And I guess Mount Donabuang, absolutely perfect location for you to drop the sport into the Yarra Ranges. And I think Michael said earlier in the show that this is the third year that the Downhill Skate Festival has happened at Mount Donabuang. So can you tell us a little bit more about that and how community can get involved? When's it on?
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty crazy. It's my, I think it's the fourth one, actually. We've done one in 2020, one in 2022, one in 2023. Yeah, and it's now coming up to the fourth one, which is pretty insane.
Yep.
It only just started as something I thought I could, like, try to get going. And it's getting better every year. We also did an event at Lake Mountain, and so now it's my fifth event in total. And it is growing, and we see like the same people come back and new faces show up. And the best way for people to get involved is simply, if you're a rider and you want to like get better at like skateboarding and meet the community and you just haven't had the chance, it's the perfect opportunity to like sign up. But if you want to volunteer, and we definitely need all the help we can get, you can volunteer via the website, which is victoriadownhill.com, and there's a get involved page. And for volunteering, we try our best to look after our volunteers. We give you free accommodation for the night you arrive and the night before you leave. And we also give you a free t-shirt and free lunch, which is a massive shout out to Mountain Tucker, who are helping us out with that, as well as the Alpine Retreat Hotel and the Yarra Ranges Shire Council, because really, and as well, I forgot to mention, sorry, is Upper Community Bank Warburton. And they have all been there the whole time for the last 4 years. And the only reason it can happen is because of those supporters. We would not be able to do it otherwise. It's a very grassroots community event, and that's for the sport to continue. That's exactly what we need right now. So, yeah.
And it's something, a little bit of something for everyone as well. You take great care, obviously, for those volunteers. There's a role of like a range of volunteering opportunities there. So, yeah. What's the website again there, Julian? If people do want to get involved in that volunteering space, how can they connect with you?
It's just victoriadownhill.com.
And Julian, can you remind us, when is the event?
The event is 15 to 17th March.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic,
we'll
fantastic.
We'll be setting up the track on the 14th though. So we'll be around town from about Thursday night in Walden and leaving Monday morning. So yeah, hit us up.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's something for volunteers, there's something for riders, and there's something for spectators as well. So if you're keen and you've got an eye for speed and you want to get involved, pop on up to Mount Donabuang on that weekend to get involved in some downhill skate action. Thanks for joining us today, Julian, and all the best with the event.
No problems. Thank you very much again.
Okay, cheers.
Hello, I'm Sophie from the youth team at Yarra Ranges Council, and I'm so happy to be with you today on Yarra Valley FM, calling from beautiful Wurundjeri country. And I'm so glad today because I've got such a special guest. Today we have Phoebe Lyons here. Hi, Phoebe.
Hi there, Sophie.
Hi. Phoebe is an amazing writer, theatre maker, musician, songwriter, painter and potter, and an amazing youth worker. I am completely in awe of Phoebe. Their presence and contribution to Yarra Ranges is palpable, and their community work with young people through the amazing Impublishment Project, which we'll be chatting about today in particular, is truly inspiring and empowering. And I'm just so glad to have you on, Phoebe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Sophie. It's so great to be here.
Yeah, I'm really glad we could make this work. Shall we launch straight into
Absolutely.
It? Absolutely.
Awesome. Ask away. Yes. I'm here for the 40 questions, probably less, hopefully.
Let's go. 40 questions with Phoebe Lyons. So, Phoebe, can you please tell us a little bit about the Impublishment Project?
Yeah. So, the Impublishment Project is basically a little tagline is empowerment through creative writing and publishing. And the project was really born from two perspectives. My passion for working with young people and the impact that I saw mentorship can have on young people. Sorry, I'm actually getting distracted. I can hear my toddler in the background.
He's zooming around
on a chair right behind me. I'm like, I can't string a thought together. He sounds like he's having heaps of fun. It's hard as a mother to tune your small person's voice out. Anyway, So, yeah, it's born from passion with working, my passion for working with young people, and how I have seen the impact of mentorship working, like, change young people's lives. And I myself, as a young person, when I was 19, the impact that mentoring had on my life and the, you know, change in life direction and, yeah, the deep sense of self I gained from that and pride in work. It was in a different area, in event management. But that was that's led me there. That's one side of it. And the other side of it is after having my child, really, you know, like I've been I was published at 14 for the first time and have been writing my whole life. But then I really, you know, as you're creative, you've got all the balls in the air and you want to do it all. And I had really not been doing much writing. And then I had my son and I was spending an awful lot of time breastfeeding this tiny infant. And so I started writing with one thumb on a phone. And wow. I worked with Kate Baker and I exhibited. I wrote like 4 or 5 children's book manuscripts, got an agent. And was and have been on and off over the years, kind of in like loose mentorship with the amazing Australian author illustrator Matt Otley, and we had these great honest conversations where he was saying to me, "Really, Phoebe, not many authors or illustrators can make a living from writing. It's just not a reality. If you were being sold on Amazon, you're only a cent a book." A cent, maybe 2 cents. That's the reality. If you're earning from a bookshop, you maybe get $2 from that book. So that really made me think, well, how can authors make a living? How can you? And he said that the only way that really he saw it working is through workshops, like attending schools, running workshops to complement. Really, the book is an artifact out there. Like, this is what I have. This is years of my life work. But you earn money through working with young people. And I thought, well, that's what I believe in. So why don't I take that on the road? And so the vision of the Empublishment Project was born, working with young people who would not necessarily have access to working with professional authors, and specifically designing a project which is based around like connection to community, connection and exploration of identity and belonging to place, and working with multiple mentors, local writers, with the culmination of a project being the physical publishing of a book of creative pieces from this group of young people. And so the Empublishment Project was born.
Yeah. I just think that is so amazing. And what a place-based, really rooted in community program. And I just think it's so fantastic. I'd love to hear a little bit about how it worked in your latest round of the Empublishment Project.
Well, yeah. Well, this is actually our first round is coming to a close, and I sweetly and naively thought that I could fit it into a 12-week creative writing program. 6.5 months later, we're deep in the editing process. And I'm laughing in your ears because it's hilarious. And I mother a toddler until 7 p.m. when he goes to bed, and then I sit at my laptop and I edit until 1 or 2 in the morning, and then I get back up at 5 in the morning and I do it all again. And that's been going on for the last 2 months. And I'm significantly sleep deprived, but we're getting there. So basically, what it looks like is the inimitable Kate Baker put me in contact. She was CEO of Yarva at the time and put me in contact with UPR Secondary College. And so this program, rather than an after-school program, it actually got to be embedded in the Gifted and Talented program at Upper Yarra Secondary. We were also open to young people who were homeschooled, and at that point only one person kind of put their hands up, so we had one young person from outside of the college come and join. We have been meeting once a week on a Thursday morning since August last year. And we have basically charted everything from creative process to, you know, the processes that I don't know if many of the artists out there would know the artist's way, like really like tuning, like creative flow, learning how to bypass the inner critic, all these little processes and tricks and ways of changing your brain waves so that what's flowing through your pen onto a page is, yeah, really, it's uncensored, and that's where the magic happens. So we did a lot of that. We so lucky to have many local authors and writers and artists and creatives come in and share their wisdom. We had, who do we have? We start off with Maya Ward, who took us through deep ecology processes and what she calls co-becoming, which is really based on Australian Indigenous practices and like deep embodiment practices that literally change your brainwaves. And when you write from that place, what comes out is extraordinary. So we were literally having a conversation with a plant and then then writing what the plant wanted to speak to us, letting that come through our pen. And it was extraordinary. This is a very different way of being for a lot of adults, let alone young people, especially in an age where we have technologies in the home, in our bedrooms from a very young age. Then we had school holiday workshops with the inimitable Corazon, who's actually in the room with us right now. Zine making. We had two big zine making sessions in the school holidays at Yarra Junction Library, and that kind of teed on to what Cora was already doing, zine making at the Hillsville Library. So we felt very lucky to be a part of that. And that was really like taking our words, but then making it into a physical little zine, a book that they could take home. And they will actually be distributed at the end of this project into public places. So we've got all these copies and they're going to go out with the book as well. Then we had Alison Evans, who is a young author who was based out of the hills but now in the city, and Kate Baker again actually put me in contact with them. They used to work at a cafe in Warburton. So it was so fantastic, and they have taken out a bunch of awards for their they've got three incredible young adult novels, award-winning young adult novels, and they came and they started us on a place-based short story workshop. So think of a place that you know really well here and introduce something, bring someone to that place. And that's where, honestly, in this book that's been published, that's where most of the stories began, in that moment. So no matter if it's turned into a sci-fi or a romance in an empire, in a fantasy empire, the moment started in that workshop, and it was based on a place here where these young people live. And then we had Claire Dunn come. Now, Claire Dunn is a rewilding expert of Nature's Apprentice, and Claire has written two books. And Claire came and really did some nitty-gritty workshops, you know, show, don't tell, and how to write dialogue, and that was fantastic. And we did some really great scene work. And then this was all interspersed with workshops with me in between. And then we had Lindy Snyder come in, who is an amazing writer, editor, self-publisher extraordinaire based in the Upper Yarra, and she shared a small sliver of her extraordinary wealth of knowledge, because we only had her for 2 hours and we were really running short on time at the end of term then. And then we also had now it feels like hundreds of sessions afternoon at the library, where we really worked on crafting our stories. We worked on the heroes, the heroine's journey. There are actually many different story archetypal narrative arcs, and we pulled them apart. There are feminist ones there, and we really chose ones that we particularly wanted to work with, and the young people took those, and a lot of them, you know, turning into short story format. We did like a half arc, you know, and we left things on a cliffhanger, or we started on a cliffhanger, and we got really creative with that. And we have had we've had sci-fis and empirical romances and post-apocalyptic fiction come out of it, and some poetry, and like fractured, rewritten fairy tales, all sorts of amazing versions of truth and versions of worlds emerge from that. And then we've just spent these school holidays editing and editing and editing and editing. And everyone says to me, wow, I really like writing, but I really don't really like editing. And I said, well, just so you know, in the publishing industry, we haven't even got to our first draft yet. And they just looked at me and rolled their eyes. Phoebe, don't tell us that.
That is just, it's really incredible, I think, how closely connected with place and with community this began, and then how expansive it is and has been for not only what they've produced but what it has meant for these young people. Would you be able to please talk a little bit to what this has meant for the young people that you've been working with?
Well, I suppose I can just go off the feedback at the very end and contrast with the beginning when I first walked into the room. You know, I don't know, put yourself back to high school and that moment when a strange woman walks in with like wild long hair and looking really kind of alternative and strange, out of place amongst the school, wanders in and says, right, you know, you put your hands up to do creative writing. And they all, you know, if you were 15, you would probably look at me and go, okay, let's see how this goes. I imagine it would have been very strange having me turn up in my flamboyant manner and say, let's do this thing.
Let's get into it.
And in those first sessions, a lot of the young people, and I hope that we can have them in one day for their like personal testament, that it was nerve-wracking to be invited to share their writing that they'd done, and no one wanted to do it. No one wanted to speak to the entire group, and we had a mix. You know, we have 12 to 15 year olds in this group, so young people who maybe have never shared their writing. So that contrasted with, you know, our final session where we did a round table of like feedback, you know, and I asked, how has this changed your life? How, you know, genuinely? And I had genuine responses in that it's changed their sense of confidence, sense of self, sense of belonging to this community, sense of belonging to their peers and connection between age groups. And I got goosebumps, and one of the most beautiful feedback has been, and hopefully this young person will come on the radio with us soon and speak at their book launch, just about really discovering that they love to write and you know, struggling, going, you know, many of these young people struggling to put pen to paper to begin with. And, you know, we have a 14,000 word story, 12,000 word stories. We've got, you know, from one young person who really writing a sentence was a real struggle when we were handwriting. Like, typing's never an issue, but like we were doing a lot of handwritten practices to cross the midline of the brain and change our brain waves. Really, really witnessing 3,500 word story, which is like the beginning, the part one of a book that they want to continue writing and are already, you know, on to the next scenes. It's extraordinary, and it is genuinely life-changing and genuinely supportive of a sense of identity, because when we participate in artistic practice, we get the strongest sense of self that we get anywhere. It's not, you know, sense of self isn't, it doesn't come from necessarily conversation with the outside world or you know, reading something else or playing games. It's actually when we're in conversation with ourself, which happens when we're in creative process. And that is what has happened through this program, and I am so deeply honoured to be a part of it.
Truly amazing, Phoebe. It's so special to hear you talk about this and to bear witness to all that you've done. I would, as we finish up, just love to hear where and how we can support your work further.
Well, I want to say that I have to thank our funding bodies, because it's like this project wouldn't have happened. So you can support me by hopefully helping us fund this program, or put your hand up to volunteer or be a part of it. But this program happened because Yarra Rangers Council, I got a grant for community in the arts and heritage stream, which is really to like enliven arts practice for young people in the Upper Yarra. And also Warburton and Yarra Junction from Bendigo Community Bank, the Upper Yarra Community Enterprise, also funded this program. And without those two grants, it literally would never have happened. And this is really like our first round, and there is the hope. My hope is that this could be a program that's rolled out in many libraries and schools. It happens overseas, and it's magic. So the young people, to support this program, buy a book. Come along to the book launch. It's happening in March. There'll be more specific dates once we've met with them, because they've just come back from holidays. They're just back at school. Buy a book, or, you know, buy the ebook and read it. There's a 200-page manuscript that nearly ready for print. It's being sent next week. And just put in there, we are printing a physical book, but it is going to be made on 100% recycled paper with vegetable inks printed in a 100% solar-powered printing press. So no trees were harmed by this book.
That's amazing, Phoebe. Thank you so much for your time. I cannot wait to see where this goes and to, yeah, have some young people to read their poems
yes.
and their writing. And thank you, Phoebe, for your
Thanks
expertise
for having me.
And all that you do.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And welcome back. And it's wonderful to hear Phoebe Lyons and the Embellishment Project and amazing creative writing, which was also happening at the Argentine Library. And speaking about libraries, we have Sabina from the Hillsborough Library. Hello, Sabina.
Hello. Great to be on the show.
Great to hear. Now, you're down at Hillsborough. You've got lots of stuff happening up in Hillsborough at the moment now. So what's happening coming up in Hillsborough Library for this month?
Well, we've got some brand new groups starting up in Hillsborough Library this year. They've just popped in today, and they'll be coming on the first Wednesday of the month at 10 till 12 o'clock. And that's the Hillsborough Family History Research Group. So it's a self-driven group, but all interested in family history and coordinated through the local Hillsborough Historic Society. So the next session will be on the Wednesday, the 6th of March at 10 a.m. Also starting a craft group. That will be people to bring along their craft activities or like existing projects and programs mm-hmm. And come along in a sociable group. And their first session will be Thursday, the 7th of March from 10 till 12. But, of course, we've got story time. So story time is always popular. We've had gangbuster, really big groups of babies toddlers. It is. It's fantastic. So at Hillsborough, it's the same time as last year. Mm-hmm. And the times for that is Tiny Tots, which is 0 to 12 months, Tuesdays at 11 o'clock. Family Story Time, which is ages 0 to 6 years, Wednesday at 10:30. Toddlers, the 1 to 3 year olds, my favourite ones, they're Friday at 9:30. And at Hillsborough Library, the sessions are free. No bookings are required. Just turn up with appropriate baby in tow.
Yes.
And very excited to have an introduction to Wayapa workshop with Shani Steele, who's
amazing.
our accredited Wayapa practitioner, and that will be on Saturday, the 24th of February at 11 o'clock.
Now, if somebody's never heard of what Wayapa is, can you give us a little summary of what Wayapa is?
It's draws from ancient Indigenous, so Australian Indigenous and also global Indigenous wisdom to create an earth, mind, body and spirit well-being session. And look, it's very, very gentle movement.
Mm.
It's a lot of listening. It's some storytelling. It's very grounding and relaxing. I found it really, I did it last year, and it's really a wonderful session to have.
It's incredible.
And, you know, you can use it as part of your wellness program. It's really fantastic, and we're really fortunate to have Shani running those workshops.
Yeah, they're amazing. It's almost, I think it reminds me a bit of like Tai Chi in a way, but it's very embedded Indigenous knowledge and knowing and being with
yeah.
First Nations. It's just a beautiful thing to experience.
Oh, yeah, highly recommended, highly recommended. And those maybe with limited mobility, they can certainly access it. But we also have, in partnership with Hillsborough Connect, we're offering chair yoga. And the first session for that will be Monday, the 19th of February at midday. And that will be running then in a 4-week cycle for the program there.
Wow, I'm just in the list of things we've done. Like at Wayapa, you've got your storytelling. We've got the yoga as well, and all within the library.
All within the library. Mm. And all those activities are free. Some do require bookings. But let's go a little bit further, in or out, depending which way up the
yes.
line you consider in or out.
Across.
And see what's happening across to Yarra Junction. So Yarra Junction actually has different story times this year from last year. They have their family story time, which is 0 to 6 years, is Monday at 10 o'clock. Their Tiny Tot session from 0 to 12 months is Tuesday at 2 o'clock, so that's an afternoon session. And their toddler session from 1 to 3 year olds is Thursday at 11 o'clock. So again, no bookings are required. Just turn up at the appropriate time with the appropriate child. But they're also very excited over at Yarra Junction to have an author talk with Robin Bishop talking about her book, The Rudd I thought I'd get this wrong. The Rust Red Land. The Rust Red Land.
Good tongue twister.
It is a bit of a tongue twister, actually. That's Thursday, the 29th of February, because, yes, we have the 29th of February this year, being a leap year. You get an extra day. That's at 2 p.m. So now Robin Bishop is a Melbourne-based author and playwright, and it's a really interesting story about her, the life of her grandmother. It brings to life the injustices faced by women in the 1800s and 1900s. So it's a really enthralling story. That's The Rust Red Land, and Robin Bishop will be speaking at Yarra Junction Library Thursday the 29th at 2 in the afternoon. Now, Yarra Junction also has a different time for one of their groups, which is their garden group, which is called the Yarra Junction Planters. They meet on the third Wednesday, and their change time is till 11 a.m. And last but not least at all, we have a film at Yarra Junction on February the 14th, Valentine's Day, at 11 o'clock, The Whale. Which I personally have not seen The Whale, and I don't know if it's a Valentine-type film, but I'm sure it will be an excellent film.
Yes. And that movie at Yarra Junction, is that a monthly event?
That is correct. Yes. Bookings are required for that one, but there's no cost. There's no cost for that movie. But, yes, they have the equipment to do that. Unfortunately, we can't do films here at Hillsville Library. But, of course, both libraries also have, which are booked, but we also have ongoing tech help sessions.
Yes.
And these are one-to-one sessions where people can get advice on using their phones, their iPads, their computers, anything where people need one-to-one help. And those sessions are always very popular and, in high demand. We just had a tech help group session, which was about getting to know your new phone. And everyone was really, it was because a lot of people get new phones or new for them phones over the Christmas period. So we saw the need to help people to upgrade, their knowledge of their phone, looking at different plans. And, people are always really appreciative.
It's a fantastic support too, because it can be quite complex. And now most stuff you can do online, which just sounds fantastic, but how do you do it? Now you know you do it safely. And I know you've done scam awareness in the past as well. So it's that one-on-one conversations are so important and valuable for people to be able to access services like your library website as well, and all your e-learning and e-books and audiobooks as well.
Exactly, yes. And a lot of people just at the desk can help you with simpler requirements. So, do come into the library if you need any help at all, and we can give you a hand.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Sabrina. And if I want to find out more about all what's happening, you go to yourlibrary.com.au and you'll find everything there about what's happening in your library locally and across the your range as well. Thank you so much, Sabrina.
Thank you. See you.
Wow, what a jam-packed show. And we've got a few little updates to come now from our local area. I've got a few, and I know Kelly's got a few to share as well. And so I've got one thing is happening in Warburton quite soon, is we've got a free breast screening in Warburton. That's happening at the Adra Redwood Community Centre. That is, you go there, it's going to be for if you're age 50 to 74. It's a free 10-minute screening breast. It's absolutely free at Redwood Centre as well. And it's from the 14th to the 29th of February during those working hours there. So if you can find out more, go to the Redwood Centre or find them on their Facebook page as well. And one more quick update is it's Clean Up Australia Day coming up soon as well. So Redwood is also running a Clean Up Australia Day. So go to Clean Up Australia and find out their research and join in. But Kelly, your quick shoots.
Big Band in the Park. Come on down Sunday the 18th of Feb between 12:30 and 4:30 at Queen's Park. Free family event. Look forward to seeing you there.
Thanks for the show, and we'll see you next month.